Good morning again. My name is Jeremiah Thomas. I'm the minister here at Centennial. I'm so thankful that we are all here worshiping this morning. If you would, please open up with me in the Bible to John chapter 20. John 20. While you're opening there, on this day, Easter Day, we think especially of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We take the resurrection to be fact that Jesus Christ was literally dead and buried in a tomb and literally rose, with all the science that you want to try to think about in that. That is what we as Christians hold to, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here's a question that I feel like is worth answering for us if we're going to speak of the resurrection. Why is it so important? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? Spoke a little bit about that with the children. We'll see what God has for us in His Word after we pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to You and we ask, by Your Holy Spirit, that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, as we lift up Your Holy Word and as we read it, God, we thank You that You have given it, that Jesus Christ is the Word who took on flesh. And so, Lord, with this, the tool that the Holy Spirit has chosen to reveal to us, Jesus Christ Himself, God, I pray that we would be able to hear what You have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. The resurrection story from the Gospel of John. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the very good word of God given to us. Thanks be to God for it. Now, here's the question that I believe is worth answering. I hope that y'all think so too. Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? We're celebrating it so much on Easter. Let's talk about it in 3 points, because I think that'll help us. The first point, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because the salvation promise is revealed. It's verses 3 through 10. for those note takers out there. The second point, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because a living Savior is at the basis of the gospel. Verses 1, 2, and then 11 through 16. And then finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because the gospel is completed in it, which allows for a family relationship with God. That's the last two verses, 17 and 18. First, then, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because the gospel promise is revealed, verses 3 through 10. This is what Peter and John know right now. Simon Peter, one of the disciples who were kind of in the inner circle with Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in quotes from Scripture here, is John. John's writing it. This is typical. He's seeking to be humble and not just say, hey, it's me. He's saying the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is fairly natural. And so, this is what Peter and John know, that Jesus died 3 days ago, and now his body is gone. That's what Mary told them. And so why are they running so hard, seeking to outrun one another? It's not a competition, but they're desirous to get there. Why are they running so hard? Are they thinking like Mary? Perhaps someone's taken Jesus' body, and so let's quickly run to see. Or maybe some words of Jesus over the last 3 years, because that's how long they were with him. Maybe some of those words began to ring in their ears. You know, Jesus himself had spoken of this quite often in his earthly ministry, that he would be apprehended. He would suffer at the hands of the high priests, the Pharisees, and the scribes, that he would indeed die. And that he would raise again after 3 days. And so they arrive at the empty tomb. And they witness some remarkable evidence. You know, grave robbers and enemies didn't do this. That's what they might have been thinking. Because why in the world would they have left the wrappings staged like that? The disciples didn't do it because they're just arriving on the scene and, by the way, it had been guarded with a massive stone in front of it ever since he had died. Jesus, that is. The women who had been with Jesus through his death, who had followed him and saw where he was laying, the rock covering it, well, they couldn't have moved the rock to get in. And come to think of it, the disciples couldn't move the rock either. And yet, the rock has moved. And there is an empty tomb in front of them. And this is when it all comes crashing together for them. Verse 8 of our text. Then the other disciple, this is John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and he believed. Because those faint memories of Jesus' words, all of those gospel predictions, of God's words recorded in the Old Testament, all of it came slamming home. Verse 9 of our text. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. God's word had spoken at this moment time and time again. Jesus, who is God, had spoken at this moment time and time again, and now Peter and John realize what has happened. Have you ever gotten news so good that you actually can't articulate your exuberant joy? You're shocked. Perhaps the birth of a child or a grandchild or the announcement. Perhaps marriage is another kind of integral moment. There are so many of these joyous occasions where we get the news and there's this shock and they say, well, how do you feel? And you say, I don't know. I'm happy. You're not smiling or you're not jumping. I don't know. I feel it. You know that good news? That's so good. Well, this might be how Peter and John were feeling. It's where verse 10 leaves us with them. The disciples, well, they went back to their homes. And I can guarantee you that they went back, and this is from the other accounts of the gospel, and we see how Peter was marveling and things like that. They went back to their homes, but they were marveling. They went back home with hope burning within them, expectantly waiting on Jesus to reveal himself to them. The gospel was revealed to Peter and John. And not only in a physical empty tomb, but in the entirety of God's word as it slammed home in the moment. The Holy Spirit working on them, and they're realizing for the first time, oh, Jesus has spoken of this. And he's made reference to this, how Scripture has told me that this moment was coming. The gospel was revealed, and the Scripture was fulfilled. You know, Peter, eyewitness of this, eyewitness of the empty tomb, one of the first. He actually says in one of his letters to us, to the Christian believers, he says, listen, I've seen a lot with my eyes, but you have something more fully confirmed, the Holy Word. He says, my eyewitness is good, and God's Word is better. And we have that now too. They had it then, and we have it now. The empty tomb is great. God's Word being fulfilled, much better. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because the gospel promises of Scripture, they take place in it. The same Scripture that we have now in its full entirety. But there's more, because Mary Magdalene stayed. And so, if we're going to be thinking about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we need to also remember what happens with Mary. And here's the point, the second one, a living Savior is at the basis of the gospel. The first two verses set in motion Mary's thoughts all the way through the story until Jesus reveals himself. Peter and John, they're believing, they're shocked in all likelihood, and now expectantly waiting on Jesus, but Scripture records it as such, they're not proclaiming Jesus raised from the dead yet. They didn't walk out and proclaim it to Mary. They leave and go to their homes. So in verse 11, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. Her reasons for weeping are revealed as she speaks with the angels and Jesus himself, unbeknownst of the identity of seemingly either the angels or Jesus to begin with. But don't look down on her or think that this might be implausible. Remember her distress. The one who had saved her from no less than 7 demons is now dead. Moreover, she, seeking to do one last honoring act to her Lord, to anoint him with perfume, so that he wouldn't smell, because he's dead. Seeking to do this, coming early in the morning, before the heat of the day, finds Jesus' body gone. And so in distress, she's asking everyone she can find, no matter their identity, where is Jesus? I'll take him. What have you done with him? But the whole story changes with one word. See it in verse 16? It's her name. Jesus said to her, Mary. It's here. It's in this one little tiny exchange, this one word, that we see why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important, why it is the basis of the gospel. And it's Mary's reaction to her spoken name. Jesus is taught of this reaction elsewhere. Actually, John records it. John chapter 10. You don't have to flip there, but if you want to, you can. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. Just two verses. Jesus, if you recall, said, Mary. And everything changes. Why? He had been speaking words to her. John 10, verse 27. This is in the Good Shepherd section. My sheep, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. A dead shepherd cannot protect the flock. A living shepherd who has conquered death, he can protect the flock both now and forevermore. A dead Savior cannot know or be known. He's dead. A living Savior can know you intimately by name and allows you to know him in return. Hear it again, John 10, verse 27. This is with that one word in mind, Mary. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. A living Savior is at the basis of this good news. And now Jesus stands before Mary, risen and living. And so Mary falls to the ground and clings to Jesus. But there's more. Not only is it important that Jesus is a living Savior because he protects us and keeps us, but there's more. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because with it the gospel is completed, which allows a family relationship with God. Verses 17 and 18. The gospel is complete. Jesus is risen. Verse 17, don't cling to me. I'm about to ascend to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. The gospel. It's been predicted and prophesied from the very beginning of what we have of the known history within our scriptures, and it's gone all the way from the beginning of creation all the way to this moment, that Jesus Christ would be born, that he would take on sin, the likes of sinful flesh, but he would be perfect, fully God and fully man, not counting equality with God a thing to be grasped. And so in all humility, as a servant to his people, he marched all the way through a perfect life, not so that he might be crowned at the end, but so that he might sacrifice himself for his people. And he dies. He really dies. But death can't hold a perfect man, because the wages of sin is death. He is sinless. And so in his perfect sacrificial state, he cleanses those who might confess in his name, and yet rises again and stands now glorified. Don't cling to me. I'm ascending to my Father. But he has some very good news for us, because he tells us we're now a part of the family. Go tell my brothers, my Father and your Father. This is very good news. Very good news. Who here has been affected by death in this last year? Since last Easter, even. Not to mention the past 5 years or the past 10 years. Spouses who have gone on. Uncles, aunts, children, parents, grandparents. Until the second coming, death comes for us all. And yet, Jesus stands here risen from the grave. And more than that, Jesus is saying that we are a part of his family. If we believe this, if we cry out unto God and we say, please, God, save me. Death is not the next step, the end goal. It's really only a beginning of eternity. And here we see that we can spend eternity not in turmoil or anguish. We can spend eternity in joy at the table of our Father with our elder brother there too. Who has, as it were, forged the way? Who here? We don't have to go back a year. In the last day, last week or month, has been affected by the guilt or the shame or the embarrassment of your own sin. You mess up, right? Sometimes you only admit it to yourself, and even then you only barely admit it and move on. But yet it's still there, clinging to you. I've got some very good news. Because as Jesus rises, he has sacrificed himself for all of that. And if we believe in him, there is no guilt. It's crazy. And yet, it is the gospel. There is no guilt. As we confess Jesus Christ, the shame and the humiliation and the embarrassment of our own sins, even the sins of this morning, the sins of this last week, the sins of our whole lives, Jesus has taken it all and paid for it. We can still feel guilty, but I am telling you, if you confess in Jesus Christ, you are not guilty. In fact, in the eyes of your Heavenly Father, you're perfect because Jesus is perfect. And he sees the blood of Jesus on your behalf. You have been cleansed, whiter than snow, as the old hymn goes. There is no guilt. Let it sink in. Dear brothers and sisters, on this Easter morning when we are so joyous, let the joy go even deeper. Because there's no guilt or shame. We live lives that are guiltless. Don't be fooled by the world or by yourself. Hold fast to God's word. There is no guilt in Christ. We cry out, God chastises us. There's repercussion for our sin. Yes, the whole gamut. But you are clean. A brother of Jesus Christ and a son or daughter of God the Father, if you but confess in him. Who has been affected by loneliness? Maybe you're lonely and you're sitting in the pew filled all the way to its capacity. Maybe you're lonely when you go home and you have a big old family. Maybe you're lonely when you're at school or work. Or maybe you're just plain old lonely. I would encourage you. You have not just this church family. You have family that is God. God is your Father. Jesus, your brother. Never forget it. Don't be tricked. See what God's word has for you. There is no loneliness to be had eternally. You are in forever fellowship. And it is the best kind of fellowship, one where you are known. Even all those warts that we were talking about before. And oh yeah, you don't even have to be embarrassed. This is the God that we serve. The Christ that has risen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important because the gospel is completed in it. And we're now God's family. It's the best of news. And we hold fast to it. The world tosses and turns like a chaotic ocean. And yet, if you just recall that one miracle of Jesus, peace, be still. And the ocean of this world ceases to rage. It is quiet and still. And in that moment, the freedom, the contentment, the joy that is deeper, almost to the point where we have no idea how to express it, falls upon us. And all we can do is continue forward as God has called us. Go. Tell the disciples. What does he tell the disciples? Go. Tell others. And what do the disciples tell those others? Go. Tell even more. praise be to God, that Jesus Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. In Jesus' name, amen.